fun stuff after a week off. Shit, man, we got I think it's a decent card, dude. Nick, you were talking about how you weren't too excited about this. I don't know how much tape study you did, but I think that there's some pretty interesting storylines to the card. I think that it's actually going to turn out to be a fun one. And I've got, I mean, coming into it, I've gotten more money on this card than I've had in, I think, any other card. I've already got $150 down in two parlays. We'll talk about those. But how are you feeling about this card heading into it, dude?
Yeah, I mean, there is a few fighters that I'm keen to see on it, and I've seen this like a similar sort of sentiment where like some people are like, yeah, I'm not too excited for this, and then other people are like, what are you talking about? This is a crazy card. So, yeah, I guess it just comes down to the sort of things you're interested in. But as I said, there is a few fighters that I do like to watch: Drew Dober, Bobby Green, Bill Algeo. Yeah, there is a few fighters on this card that I like to see, but just comparatively to what's sort of been around over the last year or so, this is sort of like a lower tier card for me personally.
Yeah, maybe it's the comeback. I'm excited to see Joaquin Buckley, Alex Morono, Joe Pyfer, Abdul Razak Alassan. I mean, Vanessa Dumopoulos, the stripper, she's always fun to watch, right? Montana De La Rosa, who's very underrated in her attractiveness. Johnny Munoz versus Arichi Lang. I mean, there's some good fights here, man. Iwan Kutalaba versus Felipe Lenz. Deanna Belbita, another very attractive lady fighting KK. I mean, this is going to be a good, like I said, I'm super excited. I'm making some good food. I mean, we got to come back to some fun stuff. And, dude, there's been a lot of news. Obviously, we want to run through this card fairly quickly, but Tony Ferguson's going to be fighting Paddy Pimblett, right? This is an interesting matchup.
Yeah, it is interesting.
Dude, I watched, I don't know if you've, if you're familiar with the Beige Frequency YouTube channel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Have you have you seen the Tony Ferguson episode he did?
Yeah, the most recent one.
I don't know how recent it is, man, but it's like he talks about how Tony Ferguson was trying to hide his kid from some fucking aliens that were trying to attack him and like all this.
Oh yeah.
Like,
that's the classic demons in the wall story.
Yeah, I mean it's maybe I'm late to the party on this, but for anyone that's not familiar, man, it's just like, yeah, Tony Ferguson is full on crazy. And it's kind of sad, dude. Like, it's wild that this dude's still allowed to fight.
Yeah, I mean, it's been like that for quite a while. But he has received help over time and stuff like that. I mean, there's times where Connor's gone at him for it and, like, said shit to him on like, Twitter and stuff in the past about it. Yeah, he had like, a mental break a few years ago and
yeah, man.
Several crazy things, you know. Grabbed his family and then got a raft and went up on top of a mountain because he said there was going to be a great flood. And
yeah,
he's done some crazy shit. But I don't know if you also saw the aerial interview with him recently.
Yeah,
I'm kind of. And how'd you feel? Because I was like, okay, this to me from the outside looking in seems like a guy who realizes shit's gone off the rails a little bit and is trying to like fix it.
Yeah, to me, man, it feels like somebody that is saying all the right things, but he's still crazy. You know what I mean? Like, you can't fix that kind of mental break. That's my big problem with the mental health push, is that when someone goes crazy, there's no 100% coming back from that. He might come back 90%, but he's still going to be fucked up. And that dude's never going to be the man that he was before he fought Justin Gaethje, in my opinion.
Oh, he will never be that. Yeah, I mean, he will never be that. But if he doesn't, yeah, it's hard because I still feel like even if he's not the guy that he was before Justin Gaethje, and he's even like 60% of that, he still beats a lot of fucking guys. You know what I mean?
Maybe.
But maybe that's just the massive Tony fan in me speaking, and I'm just right. Biased, you know?
Right. We did both pick him to submit Bobby King Green, who will be fighting in this main event this evening in Vegas 80. But yeah, man, it's just it's a weird situation, man. There's a lot of weird MMA news that's coming out. Another one
I'll tell you now, I'm betting on Tony in that fight.
I'm
Dude,
betting
I
on Tony in that fight, bro. want to, but I probably won't. I hate Patty, man. I can't fucking stand Patty, but I think I'm gonna have to go with Patty in that one. We'll see though.
I think the only threat from Patty in that fight is a submission. That's he can't knock Tony out. I don't believe he can knock Tony out. I think he could possibly submit Tony. But yeah, I see that as Patty's only way to victory as a submission, potentially a decision. But that's why I'm keen for it, because I don't see the knockout threat there from Patty towards Tony. So I'm like, okay,
Dude,
it's a
yeah.
small opportunity for a decision. But his win equity is in submission. But then you go back and you're like, yeah, well, Bobby Green hasn't really. He doesn't really have a high level ground game, and he submitted Tony. So it's like, ugh, that's kind of like the MMA math that hurts in that situation.
Yeah, I think Patty can win that any way that he wants, honestly. And as of right now, I'm gonna go back. I'm gonna watch that Tony Ferguson versus Bobby King Green fight, just to kind of get a gauge. But I mean, also you can get some knowledge from the Diaz Ferguson fight, right? I mean, Ferguson's not the same dude, man. So we'll get there when we get there. But yeah, it's gonna be a sad thing. My just MMA fan in me. I'm not necessarily a Tony Ferguson fan. I've actually heard he's kind of a piece of shit.
I think
I
he's
know
just
a,
crazy, man. You know what I mean? I think he's just crazy, and he just,
yeah, I
it's one
know
of
a
those
dude
things
that
that.
trains in LFA and he fights LFA, and he says that no one that knows Tony Ferguson likes Tony Ferguson. Like he was telling me that himself, and he's at a fight ready. Okay, so this fucking thing just stopped recording on us, but we'll continue. Let's just get into the card. What do you say? I wanted to talk about a few other things. Mike Jackson versus Jake Shields lawsuit. We can talk about this once we figure out the fucking computer situation here. But did you have any last words on that Tony Patty thing before we move into the card?
No, because I'm sure we'll go over it pretty extensively when we get to that fight, and it's pretty close. So it's probably
Yeah,
only a
man.
few weeks away.
Yeah, dude, it'll be fun, man. Really excited for fucking Jiří versus Poatan as well. I'm absolutely buying that t-shirt
Oh
for that
yeah.
event. So let's move into this though, man, because we don't know how long we have. So we'll rattle through this card. I wanted this to be shorter anyway. Obviously, you have about an hour to chat here. We'll start from the bottom, man. This is an Apex card, so you know, running through it like this, I think, is just appropriate. We've got Montana De La Rosa versus the very unathletic JJ Aldrich. Who do you got in this one? I'll let you start this fight off, man.
So one of the things for me about this fight is, I'll start by saying, because you did bring it up earlier, I haven't done barely any tape on this week. I've gone over stats and numbers. That's kind of been my plan of attack this week. Stats, numbers, and MMA math. And then just pulling from the well on what I know about the fighters. But yeah, the one thing that stands out for me on this fight is the fact that JJ Aldrich already fought in Singapore like a few weeks ago. I say a few weeks, it's like 2 months now, but pretty short turnaround. Whereas Montana De La Rosa has sort of had the opportunity to get a full camp. She's more athletic, she's younger, she's got a better grappling background, she's taller, she's got a better reach, and she was the underdog for most of the week. She's now the favorite, but she was the underdog. Yeah, I'm siding with Montana De La Rosa. There's too many things in the numbers, as I say, with like the short turnaround and then all the stats, physically, that just tell me that Montana De La Rosa is going to win it. I do like the sub. It's pretty high, betting wise. Let me just have a quick look here what I've chosen, what round. But yeah, what was it? I think the straight sub is +500 maybe. And then I've chosen submission round three, and I think the prop on that is like +3,000, something crazy like that. But I just see, as I said, the short turnaround coming into coming into effect with later rounds and gassing against a good grappler and wrestler. Yeah, I think Montana's probably going to be either the classic girl's decision, or she is actually going to be able to stop her by submission, probably in the late second, or third round.
Okay. Yeah, man, I'm 100% on De La Rosa here as well. Not putting extra units on a fight like this, but yeah, dude, JJ Aldrich coming in. Montana De La Rosa was supposed to fight Stephanie Edgar, or Egger, however the fuck you say her name. She is I think she's a better fighter than JJ Aldrich. There's a lot of recency bias here where people are saying that, JJ Aldrich finished this Na Liang who gets finished. I mean, that's how she loses. So, I was actually hyped as fuck when I was watching this fight because I bet on the round two knockout by JJ Aldrich, and she fucking got it done, dude. She knocked out Na Liang in round two in Singapore, which was wild. And that was, I'm not gonna say I cried when Korean Zombie retired, but I actually cried a little bit, dude. My girlfriend was tripping the fuck out because I never cry, but just seeing that dude and like how he went out, it was. I mean, it's a warrior's fucking death, man. And nothing really makes me upset, but that was like something. That was a really memorable card for me, man. And just I made a little bit of money on that card, and the way that it ended, I bet on TKZ to get knocked out in round three. And man, what a fucking, just what a wild event that was, dude. So yeah, man, that was a good time. It was early in the morning. I was delirious. You know what I mean? It was like I woke up at fucking 2 in the morning to watch that damn fight. So yeah, wild, wild thing. And it was that was the start of the whole thing, was JJ Aldrich kicking it off for me in good fashion. But I gotta go against her in this, man. Montana De La Rosa fought better competition, with the exception of JJ Aldrich fighting Aaron Blanchfield. That's a good decision loss, but Montana De La Rosa, losing to Tatiana Suarez, in round two, not getting, just her ass beat by her. I gotta think if there's any finishing potential, it's on the side of JJ Aldrich, but I think it's a Montana De La Rosa decision. So I'm going with that. We'll move on to this. Oh, go
I
ahead.
have an extra unit on Montana De La Rosa
You do
as
want an
well.
extra unit, okay?
Yeah.
Spicy. I like it.
Yeah.
Johnny Munoz Jr. versus Arichi Lang. This is an interesting fight for sure. And I'm not going to beat around the bush too much. I'm going to take Johnny Munoz. I'm not a huge fan of the dude. I think his jiu-jitsu is great. His striking seems good. It's really not. Arichi Lang, I just don't see anything that's awesome with the dude. He just got knocked out 3 months ago. That's never a good look. I think that you should take at least 6 months unless you're somebody like, as much as I hate the dude, Israel Adesanya can come back from something like that in a rigged fight against Alex Pereira. Going to decision with Jay Perrin. Well, if I'm not mistaken, Jay Perrin is the guy that lost to Raul Rosas Jr., if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, they did fight.
Okay, so yeah, he lost to him. Raul Rosas Jr. has not beaten anybody good in the UFC. He lost to a great fighter in Christian Rodriguez. But yeah, man, this, I think that this is kind of a mismatch, and it's wild to me that it's a pick 'em. I think that Johnny Munoz's last performance against Daniel Santos may be kind of making people think that this is something to be confused about, but I think this is a mismatch through and through. I think Daniel Santos absolutely knocks the fuck out of Arichi Lang. So I'm going all day. Johnny Munoz, I think submission probably round two, possibly even round one, man. But Johnny Munoz all day.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have anything else to say, even down to the pick. I literally have Johnny Munoz sub round two. I don't think Richie Lang's grappling is that great. He's been out grappled by people who I think have worse grappling than Johnny Munoz. And I think, yeah, Richie Lang's just going to wilt probably in the second round, and Munoz should be able to get the sub on him. And I have an extra unit on Munoz as well.
Wow, getting spicy up right up top here.
Yeah, early extra units.
I like it, man. I like it. Okay, third fight of the night will be yours to start. We got Kanako Murata, or also Tatsuro Taira, maybe, versus Vanessa Dumopoulos, my favorite stripper. She actually really isn't that attractive in when you see her. She looks very cute in her pictures, but holy shit, she looks like a fucking she looks like that thing from what is that damn movie with the kids? It's Our Time Down Here. Do you know that movie?
No, I don't
It's
know
Our
that one.
Time Down Here. Ah, shit, I forget it. But yeah, go ahead. What do you got in this fight?
Yeah, I mean, Kanako's been out for a while.
Go for him.
Yeah, so as I was saying, Kanako's been out for a while. She's the training partner of the Asian woman that we were keen to see fight 2 weeks ago, and she was also out for a while, but the name is slipping my mind right now. Her training partner that fought 2 weeks ago, I expected a lot more out of her. She did win, but it was a little bit more lackluster than I thought it was going to be. And then we have her training partner here who is been out for 2 years and 1 month. But I tend to believe that Kanako is going to win this one. I think her grappling positionally is going to be better than Vanessa. Vanessa does have the arm bars that she's wrapped around a few people, and there is the potential for that. I know there's some people betting on that, but for me, the so I've chosen Kanako KO round three, and the only way I can see that happening is by crucifix. But I kind of see her being able to get Vanessa in the crucifix late in the fight. And when she does this to girls, she has done it to other girls. She is just trying to split your face open. She rains down so many elbows so fast. That's just like, that's what she does. And I know people that have some, like I said, I haven't watched tape, but I've watched a few videos of people who have, and a lot of them have identified that Kanako is always trying to pass from full guard to side to then ultimately crucifix, and it is usually what she's trying to aim to do. So yeah, I've chosen Kanako KO round three. I don't know the exact odds on it right now, but I'm sure it's over plus 10, over plus 1,000 for that. I can bring them up, but yeah, I'm sure that's a massively lined prop.
Yeah, that'll be interesting if that happens because Vanessa Dumopoulos is not one to get finished. And really, I don't think, I mean, how many times has she been finished in her losses? Never. She's only lost by decision. She's a very durable chick, and she's one of these girls that fights for her money.
Plus 2,600.
Yeah, that sounds right because it's wild that you're going with that. I don't disrespect that at all. I think that that's a bold call, but I see very little chance of that happening. I think it's a decision victory, probably unanimous for Murata. I'm on that same side, but Dumopoulos is tough, dude. She's a really fucking tough chick. She fought up, KK, Karolina Kowalewicz, blah 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 blah, whatever. She and Karolina is a great fighter. I mean, really, really tough to poke any holes in her game, even though she had that five fight skid, right? But I don't know, man. Vanessa's just a tough chick. I actually watched their fight, doing a little bit of prep work on this, and yeah, dude, they both look good in that. Demopolis, I think, would beat Belbitza, who KK's fighting, obviously in just two fights from here, but. Yeah, dude, a finish would be wild. I think that the Montana De La Rosa JJ Aldridge fight has more of a chance of finishing. And out of all the fights on this card, I think that this has the least chance of a finish, but for the female fights, that is. So it's interesting that you're going with that, but hey man, it's a fucking fight. Anything can happen. I definitely don't disagree with the
And
bet.
it's also just one of those sort of spicier plays. Like
Sure.
as I said, everything has to go one certain way for me to get that. And there's only like I don't see a knockout on the feet. I don't see a ground and pound knockout in guard or any. It's literally the only way I think that can happen is from the crucifix. And I'm just kind of seeing that maybe it could go there. But yeah, I agree with what you're saying.
Yeah. Likely a decision, but you're going to throw that extra little risk out there, and I respect that. So you're going Murata, no extra units, I assume.
No extra unit. She's too much of a favorite.
Yeah. Okay. We'll move on here to Nate Maness versus Mateus Mendonca. I'm Mateus Mendonca all day, and I think everyone is on the side of knockout round one. Everyone's saying that, if Mateus doesn't get this dude out in round one, he's fucked. I don't think that's the case, man. He's younger by a considerable amount, 32 versus 24, favoring Mendonca being the 24-year-old. He is the shorter dude. Maness is the tallest flyweight in the UFC, if I'm not mistaken. If I heard that correctly, when I was listening to
It would
some
make
expert out
sense.
there.
I
Yeah,
mean,
5'10". I mean, that's fucking
Sean
tall.
O'Malley's tall in bantamweight, and he's 5'10".
Right.
So.
So, yeah, being a 5'10 flyweight, 125 pounds, Mendonca is kind of an average size flyweight, and I think this is kind of where the fucking flyweight unders come back, man. This is probably going to be set at 2.5. I think there's going to be a finish. I think it's going to probably be in round one or two. But if this goes the distance, I don't think that Maness is going to be favored the longer the fight goes. Yes, Mendonca is a shoot-a-box fighter. He's kind of even crazy for a shoot-a-box fighter type dude that goes out there, gets hit, willing to put himself in a position to take one, to give one, all that shit. I think Mendonca can get this on the feet. He can get it on the ground. I think he can do it any fucking way he wants, man, whatever way he sees fit. I don't think this is a mismatch. I think that Maness is actually still live to win this. So I'm not gonna give him any super wide favoritism here. I do have Mendonca in my favorites parlay, along with a few other fighters. There's five fighters in that parlay. It's a chalky fucking parlay. But yeah, dude, I'm going Mateus Mendonca. For the sake of this, I will say knockout round one, but I think he can get a knockout or a submission in any round. I think he gets a finish, though.
Okay. So for me, I don't know too much about either of these guys. I do remember hearing, where is it? Yeah, okay. So I do remember the Taguir fight very vaguely, but I also remember the Umar fight because that was supposed to be Umar just killing this guy in like 5 seconds, and then he went to decision with him, and he did lose, but he was taunting him and doing all this sort of stuff. So I do remember that. For me, I feel like Manus is very durable. Just looking at his stats, I don't know if he's ever been KO'd. I could be wrong about that. He's lost once by KO, which is, he's had, what, 20 fights, 17 fights, lost once by KO.
And that was a
Pretty
side
durable
kick.
guy.
It was probably realistically, it was a TKO, probably.
So probably possibly a body kick maybe as well, or I don't. Oh, I see where you say side kick. Yeah, didn't really specify.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of digging to the pool of some of the commentary I've watched during the week, and a lot of those people sort of said the same thing, that Maynard seems to be a pretty durable guy, but I still do think that Mateus KO is live, and to get spicy, I've gone round three KO. For Mateus Mendoza. I'm sure the lines on that, I'll bring it up right now, are huge because, as you said, everyone's just like, KO round one, KO round one. Let's just have a quick look here. What do we got? Mendoza wins by KO in round three plus 1100. And I don't think it's that crazy. It is obviously, well, I mean,
That's the only time that Maness has been knocked out, to your credit, is in round three.
yeah, I think I may have saw that in my stats, and that may have also helped. But yeah, I just feel like he's, and I feel like from what I'm seeing and from what I'm hearing, Maness is a very durable fighter. But he also gets hit a lot, and that's why he's lost to guys like Umar by decision, because Umar just pieced him up the whole fight. But yeah, for me, I feel comfortable taking the risk and going against everyone else, like the 90% of other people that are saying round one sort of KO and going the complete opposite end and going KO round three, especially for those odds. But yeah, that's as I said, I'm just going off sort of what I've heard and the very vague amounts of fights that I sort of remember of these guys.
There's a fair amount of people being on the side of Maness as well. So, yeah, by you going Mateus late, I think that's a it's a smart play. It could be. It's either smart or it's stupid. We won't know until it happens, right? So, fifth fight of the night: Karolina Kowalkiewicz versus Diana Belbica. I believe this is your pick.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't any tape on this. I'm sure I've told you a million times I don't like Karolina. There's no real major reason why I just don't like her. Belbita's a lot taller and a lot more reach than pretty much anyone Karolina's fought or won against. I do kind of notice that Karolina has a little bit of trouble getting the distance and the reach in the sort of the first round against the people that she's fought, even the ones that she's won against. And a lot of those people have had similar reach to her. And then you come over and you look at Belbita, she's, 5'7", 4 inches taller. Her reach is 4 inches longer. She's younger and she has a kind of a similar style. I don't see her being completely out grappled. There is a situation where Karolina wins 30-27 based on number of takedowns as opposed to control, in my opinion. I don't see Belbita completely getting out wrestled here. But yeah, I just feel like potentially seeing that Karolina has trouble finding the distance and reach against shorter people, over the past few fights, going up against someone that's a lot younger than her, and a lot bigger, a lot more reach. I just think that it could throw her off. So I've gone with the underdog of Belbita by decision.
Okay. I respect
And
it.
I was on Karolina for most of the week, and it's only like the last day or two that I was like, you know what, I'm going to switch that.
I definitely could see why. A lot of people have been doing that since the weigh-ins too. For some reason, a lot of people think that just, I mean, I don't know if people don't read the stats and don't realize that Belbica was going to be the taller girl than Karolina, but whatever, it is what it is. I have Karolina in a parlay. I think she gets it, man. I think that she's the better fighter. Deanna, I don't know, man. She seems dainty. She doesn't really seem like a fighter to me. I know she's, fucking 10 years younger than Karolina, but she's very attractive. I think that she should get out of this and she should do some fucking porn or something, 'cause I'd rather watch her do that than this. Yeah, man, I don't see any real path to victory for Diana, but maybe I'm wrong. I think Karolina's more well-rounded. She's fought the better competition. Belbica hasn't beat anybody good. I'm gonna go back. There's not one good name on here. For her wins, she lost to Molly McCann. That's her best loss. Hannah Goldie is trash. I mean, she hasn't beaten anybody good. That's my reasoning for going with the status quo. KK's fought, I mean, champion after champion. I mean, she's fought the best in the division. She's not a dangerous fighter. She's a point fighter, and that is dangerous. She had this five fight skid. But since she came back in 2022, she's been kind of on a tear. Silviana Gomez Juarez isn't great, but that's probably her best win in the last three wins that she's had. But yeah, man, I think that it's beating Rose Namajunas, dude. I mean, fucking Diana Belbica is never gonna beat somebody like Rose. So even though she's a fucking head case, Rose is still a decent fighter. So yeah, man, give me KK all day, and I'm not gonna take any extra units on her or anything, but I think that that's the obvious play there. Felipe Lins versus Iwan Kutalaba. What a fucking weird fight this is, man. What a strange fight. Really, really tough to pick this in my opinion. I'm gonna definitely have to go with Felipe Lins. I'm tempted to put an extra unit on the dude too, because Ewan is just not good, man. He's really not a good fighter. I said this last time he fought. When he who did he fight? He fought Tanner Boser, and I think I picked Tanner Boser even against him. And I have zero confidence in Canadian fighters, but that just shows how low I think of Iwan Kutalaba. He's the worst Sambo fighter in the UFC by a mile. I mean, but just the worst by a lot. He is fucking 9 years younger than Felipe Lins, who fought in the PFL. I think he won the $1 million with the PFL.
So you know Felipe Lins got knocked out in one round by Tanner Boser.
When was that? Yeah, okay. Yeah, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I don't know if that matters much, though. You know what I mean? Like, the MMA math doesn't ever add up, right? So I don't know. This is going to be tough. I'm going Felipe Lins. To me, it's a no-brainer. This is one thing I wish that we could have talked for the Fialho Tim Means fight. I wanted to go Tim Means, but I wanted to talk about it a little bit. And I mean, I have zero confidence in Andre Fialho, and I think of him the same way I think of Iwan Kutalaba. These guys, any chinny fighter that relies on power, I think is fucked. And that's what Andre Fialho is. And I think that's what Iwan Kutalaba is, right? His takedowns. He doesn't really use his fucking takedowns. So I think Felipe Lins either knocks him out late, knocks him out early, decision wins him. I don't know. I just in any way, I don't see how Iwan gets this done, man. I could be completely wrong. This is kind of like one of those back and forth battles that people are having on Twitter and Instagram and shit. But I think it's Felipe Lins. I know he's the underdog here. Everyone's on that Kutalaba side just because he's got that power. But when has he had an impressive performance? Ryan Spann, who sucks. I mean, Ryan Spann is not good. Devin Clark, that's not a good win. You know what I mean? Johnny Walker, understandable loss. Kennedy and Zedjikwu, fine loss. I don't know. This would be the worst loss for Iwan Kutalaba, but I think he's just done, man. So I'm going to go with Felipe Lins here.
I'm just going to rock with the Hulk by round one KO. I've used the MMA math. I've always sort of been an E1 fan, regrettably, because of the shit he does. But when I started collecting cards, he was the first autograph card I had. So I'm always like, got a soft spot for E1. And I just like the all-around arrogance and stupid shit he does, to be honest. I think it's hilarious. Walks
Yeah, he's
up like
funny.
in people's faces and screams like in the cage as he's getting announced and shit. That's always funny because all the security guards always shit themselves and try and run up to like stop him doing it. Yeah, man. I'm just gonna rock with the power and just I feel like the opportunity's there for Ewan to just run out and use that 2 3 minutes of psycho power he has, and hopefully connect on Philip as he shoots in for a takedown or something like that. But yeah, I hear a lot of people saying Lins by submission, but I guess we'll see.
Yeah, man, I'll throw an extra unit on Lins, just to get it up there, you know what I mean? Just to see what's up. Let's go to the seventh fight of the night. Bill Algeo versus Alexander Hernandez. And I'm very interested in what you've got here. This is your shot
Yeah.
to go first.
I mean, Alexander Hernandez just wilts. When things aren't going his way, he wilts. And we've seen it so many times. Like, this isn't just a one-off thing. We've seen it so many times. I go back to the fight with Billy Q against Alexander Hernandez, and I think Algeo and Billy Q are almost like clones of each other. Billy Q probably hits a little harder than Algeo. But they've got a very similar fight style, very similar, just keep fucking coming and we're gonna break whoever we're fighting. Doesn't always work out for them, but that's their style. And when you've got a guy like that going up against someone who usually wilts in the second round when things aren't going their way, I just see it going exactly like that. If we go back to Alex Hernandez's record, the three times he's lost by KO, round two. The one time he's lost by sub, round two. And then he's obviously been, he's lost by decisions. But any time he's ever been finished, it's been in round two, and it's been from him wilting. He didn't get his way in the first round. The guy started to take over, and he just fucking gives up. I'm going Bill Algeo, KO, round two.
Like it. Okay. I am going the opposite way. I have Alexander Hernandez in an underdog parlay with a fighter that is fighting in just a couple fights. But yeah, man, I think the UFC wants Alexander Hernandez to do good. Bill Algeo is being asked if he's going to retire after this fight. I think that's very interesting anytime that happens. In the I watch all the interviews. I watched them all yesterday, and I rewatched a couple today. I rewatched Bill Algeo's because I for some reason I thought, I was like, is he fighting fucking Hernandez, or is he fighting somebody else? He is in fact obviously fighting Hernandez, and it made me feel a little more comfortable about my pick in the Great Ape. These are two of the worst nicknames in the fucking UFC: Senor Perfecto and the Great Ape. For a white dude. Yeah, man. I think that it's when the lines opened, Hernandez was the favorite, and now he's the dog. So I think that that's, usually the public is correct in that kind of line movement. So it would lead you to believe that Algeo is the side here. But I think that Jim Miller is such an underrated win. And for him, for Alexander Hernandez to go the distance with him, that's fucking incredible, honestly. For somebody that supposedly wilts, nah, man. I think Alexander Hernandez is trying to take his career more serious. He's getting older. He's 31. He's approaching his prime. He's probably in it right now. And Algeo is, I think he's got one foot in, one foot out. Give me Hernandez all day. He is an underdog, and I will be taking an extra unit on him because I'm going all in, dude. I got him in a parlay. I'm gonna take an extra unit. I'm pretty confident in this dude. So yeah, give me Hernandez. Give me.
I'll take two extra units on LGO.
Okay. Yeah, extra one unit, and for the sake of the show here, I will go Alexander Hernandez knockout round two. So,
Do you remember the whole Hernandez and Cowboy saga when they fought? Yeah, that's always made me not like Hernandez.
yeah, I mean, but again, it's a fight, you know what I mean? I actually want to talk about something when we get to Joe Pyfer about like respecting fighters, just through and through, like respect these fighters that have given us stuff. It, like I said, we'll talk about it when we get to Pyfer, but and I'm a fan of Pyfer, so I'm not going to talk shit about Joe Pyfer. I actually like the dude. I didn't like him that much when he first got in, but I'm a fan now, especially watching his interview. But yeah, man, I got some shit to say when we get there. So yeah, man, give me Alexander Hernandez, give me knockout round two, give me an extra unit all day. I think that he's kind of been slept on a little bit. Now, this is your. Wait, I think that was supposed to be yours. Did you start with that? Yeah. Okay, this is me. Drew Dober versus Ricky Glenn. Man, after Drew Dober gets fucking knocked out, it's a TKO, but by Matt Frivola, by a wrestler, it is a little scary to have to count on that chin. The dude's taking a lot of shots to that fucking chin, too. But Ricky Glenn's old. Ricky Glenn's slow. I know they're the same fucking age. Okay. I don't know. This is a weird match, but everything in me says just go with Drew Dober and go with the late knockout, probably round two, round three. Drew Dober knockout round three. What does Ricky Glenn really have to offer here? Losing to Cristios Jagos, drawing with Grant Dawson, that's not horrible, but it's, a draw is a, I think a draw is worse than a fucking loss. Kevin Aguilar beating Joaquin Silva. I mean, he hasn't really fought anybody that's super impressive, whereas Drew Dober
Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at littletoncoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at littletoncoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company. Serving collectors since 1945.
Fighting incredibly skilled fighters, Matt Frivola. That's a fine loss, in my opinion. Obviously, you don't want to get knocked out by the dude, but still. Bobby Green beating him. Rafael Alves, Terrence McKinney. I mean, that was a great fight, by the way, too. Phenomenal. Just like this dude's getting his ass beat and then just comes back. Brad Riddell, I mean, kind of a, you know, lackluster fighter. My problem is if Drew Dober doesn't come out and realize that he can't take too many more shots to the fucking chin, then Ricky Glenn gets this done. But I'm going to go Drew Dober. I'm going to go round three knockout, because I don't want to just continue with the round twos. But yeah, round three knockout, Drew Dober.
Pretty much everything you just said. I'm going round two, though. I like the fact that we're both going late, because all the money seems to be going on Drew Dober round one. He said in interviews recently that he wants to be a little bit more patient with the way he fights and not be such a fucking psycho in the first round. That leads me to believe that he might be a little bit more patient in that first round, but there's absolutely no denying that he has the hand and the power to KO an old Ricky Glenn. So I think that it is definitely going to happen. But I just like that me and you can sort of go against the crowd and all the money coming in on the first round and yeah, try and take a stab on those juicier odds in round two, round three. So yeah, I've Drew Dober round two, and betting wise, I am going to be looking to hit some of those sort of round two, round three sort of props and stuff.
Round two,
because I think that's
smarter,
where the money is. Yeah, and I think that's where the money is. And like I said, especially with him saying that he wants to take things a bit more patient, a bit more smarter.
Yeah.
When people say that and they follow it, you usually do see them fucking take that first round as a bit of a feel-out round and stuff. But, I mean, it's Drew Dober. He might just come out swinging. So,
yeah,
I guess we'll see.
Yeah, the round two in my head sounds smarter, but I don't know, man. Contender Series. I've been betting on Contender Series, and I go a little later than I feel like I should, and it's been working. So round two, round three, if you can get that combo, sprinkle a little bit on that. Dude, I had to unfollow that Mr. Plus Money dude that I told you about with the fucking ladder UFC shit, because this dude went fucking balls to the walls with the fucking Travis Kelce Taylor Swift thing. And it was so annoying. And I was like, dude, you're such a fucking moron for telling people to bet that Travis Kelce is going to get 2 or 3 touchdowns in his game. I unfollowed him because I'm like, dude, you're a fucking fake shill. And anyone that pays for people to get betting advice, it's literally every single bet is a 50-50 shot. The odds are irrelevant, realistically. Especially in fighting, man. So, yeah, I had to unfollow all these different things that I was following that were giving betting advice, because they're literally wrong half the time, but they make it, they only post their good wins, and like they'll talk about their losses, but they kind of skew them. So yeah, dude, like, yeah, anyone that's fucking paying for betting advice is a fucking retard, in my opinion. It's just something that you can't do, man. Like, you have to do your own kind of research and put your money where you think it should go. And just listening to people is just a bad move, man. It's wild. This dude fucking sitting there saying that Travis Kelce is going to score 2 or 3 touchdowns. He didn't even fucking get the ball, dude. So, yeah, it was kind of funny seeing that. And dude didn't mention it in his next fucking day. So thought that was pretty bad. But did you do that last one, or did I? I did. So you go on Alex Morono, the Great White, versus Joaquin Buckley. Who you got here?
Yeah, I'm not a massive Joaquin Buckley fan. Also, I didn't tape this one.
How'd you say his name?
Joaquin.
Okay.
Yeah. How does he say it? I haven't even taken notice.
I mean, it's Joaquin. That's how you say
Oh, there
that
you
here in the
go. Yeah.
States,
We don't,
but
yeah, see, we don't have many Joaquins here in Australia, I tell you
yeah, I
that.
wouldn't doubt it. But yeah, that's hilarious. Joaquin. That's I like that. I think he should actually go by that. You can call him New Mansa too. He pretends he's Jamaican.
I always just call him Buckley, so that's probably why I've never really taken notice of the first name. But yeah, I'm not a massive fan of the guy. He kind of pisses me off. Just like,
Right.
I think he's trying to be a character, but he hasn't figured out the character that he's trying to be,
Right.
and so it's just like everywhere all the time. And yeah, I just it's just a bit annoying. He's had like good wins, good losses, shit wins, shit losses. Like he's just kind of like all over the place, and I can never predict him.
Right.
And I guess Alex Morono is kind of in that same spot for me. Like I've seen him beat dudes that I'm like, yeah, he's not winning this fight at all, and then he does win, and then I've seen him lose fights where I'm like he was winning the Ponzinibbio fight, and then he got fucking KO'd.
Yeah.
I mean, I was on Ponzinibbio in that fight, so it worked out for me. But yeah, it was just, I don't know, man. This is kind of like a pick'em fight for me. I think the odds are like kind of close to pick'em. They're not quite there, but they're okay. That's pretty separated now. I feel like this is a bit of a pick'em fight. When the fight happens, that could completely just prove me wrong, and just but I guess that's when you say something a pick'em's fight, that's what you mean. It means you can't see either way.
Right.
For the sake of this, I'm going to take Alex Morono. He's the underdog. Usually when something's so close and I can't pick, it's like one of those dog or pass things. So yeah, for me, I'm just going dog or pass. I'm going Morono decision. But I do absolutely can see a world where, Buckley just throws hammers and knocks this dude down. I'm sure Buckley probably hits harder than Ponzinibbio. Probably not cleaner, but probably harder. So yeah, if Buckley connects, he probably would knock Morono out. Yeah,
Right.
I'm going Morono decision.
That is refreshing to hear because Alex Morono is my second leg in my underdog parlay, along with the great ape, right? I mean, Alexander Hernandez. I got him and Morono in my underdog parlay. Threw $50 at it. Should get me 350 if that hits. So pretty excited. I think it's very fucking live. So yeah, man, I'm all in. I for all the reasons that you said, I'm not a Joaquin Buckley fan. Joaquin Buckley changes his personality every interview he gives, which is very interesting. You kind of hit on that a little bit. His last media day interview, he's talking, and this isn't because he's black, so no one out there say that I'm fucking racist for saying this, but he's sitting there and he's talking like he's in a rap video or some shit. Like he's no one actually talks the way that he was talking. He was sitting there, he's saying things like, yeah, we're gonna go out there and knock this dude out. You hear me? Like he's saying weird shit like that. And it's like, dude, and over again, he's saying, you know what I'm saying? Over and over. No one fucking really talks like that. So I think he was a little cocky. He went in, he got the win. Now he's a little more humble because he got the win. He's like, okay, we're gonna, level back out to my real personality. And I think he loses this because of that. Alex Morono's a real dude, very fucking talented, underrated. If you remember last time Alex Morono fought, I called a round two submission against Tim Means, threw $30 at that round two submission. It got me $250. Really proud of that one. I think you said something along the lines of you're a weapon when I told you to place that bet. And
Yeah, because actually I do remember that now, because yeah, I think I was just like, yeah, fuck it, rightio, I'll do it too. And then I ended up hitting as well.
yeah. So yeah, that was like my first ever UFC $500 weekend because this dude got me $250 for that. And then I hit a couple other bets later that night. Yeah, man. Alex Morono is my dude. This is kind of along the lines of like a Jamahal Hill, Jeff Neal, these dudes that got me into UFC betting. And this dude to date is one of my biggest hits. So yeah, I'm gonna ride with Morono, and I think he's live here, man. We Want Picks is a channel that I like to follow, and this dude has a lock of the week that he does every week. He picks an underdog on the card that's an underdog, and he hits at like a 90% clip, and he has Alex Morono as his lock of the week. So I do have an extra unit on Morono for the sake of this bet as well. And I think that Alex Morono gets this done. Oh, round two, round three submission, something like that. Although Buckley's good on the ground and he could actually initiate the grappling, I think it's possible. Actually, you know what? Scratch that. I'm going to go Alex Morono round two knockout. I think that he gets the knockout here because Buckley's going to try and swing and bang with this dude. And Morono's much more technical. Buckley's physique is wild right now. He actually took his shirt off in his fucking media day interview. And this dude's shoulders are insane. I mean, he's the more physical specimen out of the two. You know, fucking Alex Morono's built like I am. But Joaquin Buckley is built like a fucking freak in nature. Looking at these dudes, you think, yeah, who's the fighter? Yeah, it's Joaquin Buckley. But Alex Morono, I think, is the better fighter, more experienced, only fucking 4 years older, 3.5 years older, if we want to get real technical with it. I think it's Alex Morono, man. I think that this is a sneaky underdog play, and I'm taking him for a knockout, dude. I think that that's actually really live. The submission's obviously live, too, but I mean, it's tough to really call a method here. This can go knockout, submission, decision, and realistically, Buckley, I think his realistic chance of winning is a sub-3-minute knockout, catching Morono off guard. Once Morono makes his reads, I think it's game over for Buckley, so... Give me Morono all day, extra unit. Let's fucking go.
I think I've got one extra unit left. So I'll just rock with you. I'll just put it on him too because there's not much value with the rest of the card. So, yeah, okay. I'll do that too.
All right. Now, Joe Pyfer, man, I mentioned that I wanted to talk about this. You got Joe Pyfer versus Abdul Razak Al-Hassan. I mean, a 40-year-old fucking fighter. I mean, this is a fucking mismatch, in my opinion. 27 versus 38. Wild. You know that Dana White wants Joe Pyfer to win, and he's going to. He's going to get this done. I give a 95% chance of Joe Pyfer winning this. Yeah, Abdul can fucking throw. He's a great kickboxer. But Joe Pyfer, I think, has more power. He's the bigger dude, right? 6'2 versus 5'10. He's the better jiu-jitsu player. He fucking submitted. Help me out here. Jiu-jitsu dude that he just beat last time.
No, he knocked him out.
No, Gerald Meerschaert. He submitted him in a grappling fucking competition, too.
I haven't seen the grappling competition. Look at this.
Gerald Meerschaert, in a fucking decision, he out-grappled Gerald Meerschaert. That's shitty for Gerald Meerschaert.
I remember hearing that that was going to happen, and then, yeah, I obviously never checked back in, so I'll have to watch that this weekend.
Yeah, so he beat Gerald Meerschaert in a fight and also in a grappling match, which is supposed to be Gerald Meerschaert's forte. Now, Joe Pyfer, in his media day interview, was saying some interesting things, and I really like the dude. I didn't want to. I hate how he gets in there, and every time he fucking wins, he cries. I really don't like that. I think that it's annoying, dude, when you get in there and win and cry. I understand it's a feat that most people will never accomplish. It's a feeling most people will never feel, all this shit. But be a fucking man and go and cry behind the scenes. I hate crying on the highest levels of this stuff. It's whatever. It's his fucking business. It's fine. He was saying something else that I don't agree with, even though I really like the dude. He was saying that all fighters are to be respected. Every single fighter. If you're not going to get in there and fight, you can't talk shit about these fighters. 1,000,000% disagree. You can absolutely, if you've never thrown a punch in your life, you can still talk shit about these fighters. It's a sport. If someone can't throw a fucking football, they still talk shit about quarterbacks. If someone can't catch a fucking pitch from a fucking baseball pitcher, they still can talk shit about catchers or pitchers or whatever. It's a fucking sport. So, you know, I've been kind of arguing with people on Instagram because I saw this video of a Russian dude getting knocked out and kind of cold cocked while he was on the ground, and he wakes up and he's crying, and he's like fucking scream crying, like ugly crying. And I was like, damn, this is the weakest shit I've ever seen a fucking MMA fighter do. And all kinds of people were like, dude, if you won't get in the ring, you can't, or if the octagon, you can't fucking talk shit like that and all this shit. And to me, it's just like, dude, I don't see why not. Like, why can you not say that's some weak shit? If you're going to get fucking knocked out and hit when you're down and you start scream crying that's some pussy shit, why can't you say that? I mean, I don't know where you're at on that, but it's fucking lame, dude. Like, these fighters have the weakest egos out of all professional athletes, it seems like, because you can see some high level, you know, like Justin Fields, a quarterback for the Chicago Bears, by all accounts, horrible quarterback, but the dude is open to criticism. You know what I mean? And yeah, we can talk about how NFL is kind of rigged and all this shit, but these dudes are okay with being criticized. Obviously they get paid a lot more and all this shit. But why the fuck do we just have to universally respect fighters? What is to be respected about who's that middleweight that fights at heavyweight that just got kicked out of the UFC, probably? That's a cop as well. My brother's keeper. He has tattooed on his chest.
Dawkins.
Chris Dawkins. What's to be respected about Chris Dawkins' MMA career? He's an out of shape fucking loser. Like, what's to be fucking respected about his career? That he'll step in there and get a paycheck? Who the fuck cares, man? So that's what I'm saying. It's like, we don't need to respect these people just because they step in there. That's a big thing that I disagree with about Joe Pyfer's, you know, media day comments and how he was talking about no one should talk shit about Sean Brady's loss to Bilal Muhammad. He got standing TKO'd by a split decision machine. That is worthy of talking shit. You can talk shit about Sean Brady's performance there. Whether you can throw hands with Bilal Muhammad or not, you can talk shit about that performance. It was a dog shit performance. It's an interesting concept that these people think that they're inept to criticism because they get in there and they fight. They're not fucking saving the world here. They're going out there and fucking fighting for $30,000. Like, you're not curing cancer. You're not doing anything that meaningful. You're fighting. So, like I said, I really appreciate Joe Pyfer's takes on a lot of shit, but that's a dog shit take, dude. Sitting there and talking about like, oh man, we all need to be respected. No, you don't. You have nothing else that you can do, and that's why you're in here fighting. Get over yourself. You're not a fucking superhero by going in there and doing this stuff. So that's my rant about, you know, these fucking fighters being fucking superheroes, man. Like, different careers are different for each person. Joe Pyfer hasn't even fucking proven himself yet. He could lose to Abdul fucking Razak Al-Hassan and go on to be nobody, or he can go on and continue to be a fucking badass and potentially win the belt, man. But don't sit there and act like you're fucking Iron Man or Batman or some shit like that just because you're in there and fucking throwing hands, dude. Like, it's a goofy way to go about your fucking life and act like everybody has to respect you just because you're doing something that you want to do. That'd be like me fucking telling everyone that they should praise me for my fucking computer job. So, yeah, man, it is what it is. But with that said, I have Joe Pyfer knockout round one. And yeah, dude, I don't know what you got here and how you feel about anything I said. But it's just a unique sport, man, how these dudes just like demand respect just because they get in there and fight.
Yeah, no, I mean, I tend to agree with most of what you said. I also do see the other side of, like, the higher-level guys, you know, train 3 times a day for weeks on end and then go out there and fight, and not a lot of people are able to do that. But, yeah, no, I mean, you kind of outlined it perfectly. Like, what's there to respect about a Chris Dawkins or something? Like, not too much. I mean... I was going to say, I could do what Chris Dawkins does. I could do it. I wouldn't. I wouldn't go out and lose to Derek Lewis, knowing I'm going to lose to Derek Lewis in 2 minutes and not put any effort into my training and then go out there and get knocked out by him. I could do it, but I'm not going to. Well,
because you have skills. You know what I mean? Like, you have skills that are practical in the workplace. This is why you have a fucking job. This dude was a cop. And I don't respect cops either. You know, a lot of people in, like, you know, this whole walk of life that, you know, MMA viewers and more right-leaning people, more conservative people, blindly respect cops and soldiers. I don't just respect police officers. So this dude had a fucking shitty job where he's mostly giving people fucking traffic tickets. This dude's not going and breaking up fucking drug dens and saving kids from danger. He's giving people speeding tickets. And he gives that shitty job up to go in here and get knocked out by three fucking heavyweights and a fucking light heavyweight. And then he, you know, we're supposed to respect all fighters? Get the fuck out of here with that shit. So yeah, man, sorry to interrupt you, but yeah, it's a passionate thing because it's like, dude, just because you're in there doing this doesn't mean you're shit. Like, you can be really bad at it, and even if you're good at it, somebody like Israel Adesanya, I talk shit about too. Knowing full well Israel Adesanya would fuck me up if we got in a fucking fight, right? But I could shoot the dude, you know what I mean? Like, if it came down to it. So it's not like, you know, what's this dude going to do for me that, I don't know. It's like these people think that they're fucking superheroes, and it pisses me off sometimes. So yeah, it bothered me when he was saying that shit clearly. So.
Yeah, I mean, tend to agree, and I agree with your pick as well. Joe Pyfer, round one.
Pyfer, round one knockout, dude. That's where it is. Yeah, let's move on here before I start talking more shit about these dudes that could beat me up in a fight, like I said. I'm not denying that, but, you know, in the real world, it's not just hands and feet. It's other things. So we got Grant Dawson versus Bobby King Green in the main events of the evening. And yeah, man, I'll let you go first, obviously. But I will say I am taking 2 units on my pick.
Okay. Yeah, look, I just got to go on the math here. I think I was saying it to you a few weeks ago. I think Grant Dawson is pretty underrated. I don't think a lot of people realize how good he is. His wrestling's really good. Ground control submission's really good. Stand up isn't too bad either. I just see him being too much for Bobby. He might get a few, like, Bobby might touch him up a little bit at the beginning when things are dry and sort of on the feet and everyone's got a lot of energy. But as it goes on, I just don't see it going that way. I see Grant Dawson being on top and potentially KOing Bobby Green. A lot of people are going on the submission. Bobby Green doesn't typically get submitted that much. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think he's been submitted like twice or something. Twice. Maybe even once, yeah.
Knocked out 4 times.
Okay, so there you go. I just feel like he has reasonable submission defense, whether it's just like hand fighting, hands in the neck, as people are trying to, you know, you put your hand in the neck. I don't know if you know what I sort of mean, but if someone's sort of wrapped around your neck and you can slip your fingers in there and get a bit of a pocket of air going in your neck, and it's really hard to choke you out. I've seen him do that sort of stuff. Like, he's good at defending chokes and submissions. Yeah, I just feel like Grant Dawson, the wrestling will be too much, and if he can't get the submission, well, he's just going to try and flatten him out and just pound his head in until the ref stops it. And I kind of seeing it going that way late in the third or into the fourth round. Yeah, I've got Grant Dawson by KO in round three.
Interesting. Okay. It's funny that you say that everyone is on the side of submission, so you're going knockout, because I hear every betting channel that I listen to say that same thing. Every one of these betting channels is on the knockout side for Dawson. So for that reason, I am submission round two, Grant Dawson. I think that, you know, if you can put somebody like Demir Ismagulov in a full Nelson, I mean, this is not a porn move, folks. This is a wrestling move. You see it in, you know, Brazzers and things like this. But this is an actual wrestling move. And Grant Dawson had Demir Ismagulov in a fucking full Nelson. That's not something that's easy to do to anybody, much less somebody like Demir Ismagulov.
I remember seeing it live. When I used to train MMA and I was doing some sparring, and my coach was training with a rugby player who'd come in to try and learn some wrestling. And yeah, the coach put him in a full Nelson from standing position, like flicked him down into a full Nelson. And I was like, audibly yelled out, like, whoa. Like,
Yeah.
it was just like, I was just like, what the fuck? Like, that is crazy. So yeah, it's a pretty impressive move.
And I don't know if you remember seeing Grant Dawson do that to Ismagulov, but he fucking did in his last fight 3 months ago. Took zero damage, have 12 minutes of control in that fight. Yeah, his style is boring as shit, man. Like it is it's Khabib Nurmagomedov style, like early Khabib. It's Islam. Early Islam type stuff. I'd love to see a Grant Dawson versus Islam Makhachev fight. I think that that would be an incredible fight, and I would actually favor Dawson. I think he's the best wrestler. People say that it's fucking Matheus Gamrot. I think that Dawson beats Gamrot. I think Dawson beats Islam. He's the best wrestler, dude, in the lightweight division. I think he can absolutely. I think he can be a champion, man. He's undefeated in the UFC. He's 20-1 for a fucking reason. He's fighting a dude that's older. He's not out of his element when it comes to the striking department. So it is possible that there is a fucking standing knockout here. You know what I mean? Like he could actually, like they can go toe to toe. Green's gonna clearly be expecting a takedown. You know, he could pull a Jesus Aguilar and fucking knock him out in 1 minute. You know what I mean? Just by throwing, you know, acting like he's going down, throwing overhand right and connect. And that's that. But I think that the obvious side and the odds reflected, I think he's a minus 430 at this point. It says minus 455 on Tapology, but minus 430 coming into the, you know, event day. Dude, barring some kind of Hail Mary situation, this is Grant Dawson all day. Whether it's knockout, decision, whatever. I think if you had $1,000 and you threw it down on Grant Dawson, I think it's safe. Now, with that being said, don't do it if you don't have $1,000 to lose. But yeah, man, it's Grant Dawson all day. And I, for the sake of this, I'm going round to submission. I think he fucking either guillotines or rear naked chokes Bobby King Green and gets it done fairly quick here, probably before the championship rounds for sure, but I'm gonna say round two. And I got two
Yeah.
extra units on the finish there.
Yeah, I couldn't put, I mean, like, yeah, it's pretty much a sure thing, but I put 5 units on Grant Dawson. I'm probably still not even going to win one, so.
Yeah, I just didn't have anything else that I was super confident on. I respect your Montana De La Rosa and your Munoz picks, but I don't know. I was going to include Munoz in my underdog parlay as well, but I just wasn't sure because he pulls guard a lot, so I was a little worried about that.
Yeah, he does pull guard a lot, and that's a very true statement.
So
It's
yeah, I
one of
was
the
a little
things that
worried
I
about
was,
that.
yeah, that's one of the things that I am worried about in that particular pick. But yeah,
And
it's funny.
Montana De La Rosa's got a shitty record. She's fought better competitions, though. I agree with those picks, but it's just like I'm not confident on anything. Next week, there's some solid picks, dude. There's some solid fucking plays, and it's actually going to be really hard to pick where I want to put my extra units. But with that said, man, that does it for that card. Vegas 80, we did it,
And
and
yeah, just to touch on what you said about Dawson, I am kind of keen to see how this guy evolves, because I've been saying it for a little bit now, not too long, but a little bit, that yeah, I think he's super underrated and people don't realize like how far up in that division he can go. I mean, I
yeah.
see him like being able to throw people like Justin Gaethje around and shit. So
Fuck yeah.
like, you know, I'm the only thing that worries me about, well, it doesn't worry me about this fight, that I is kind of disappointing about this particular matchup, is that Bobby Green's ranked 17 and Dawson's ranked, I don't know, like 11 or some shit. So it's like,
Yeah, 10 or 11.
the UFC might put him up a rank, but the chances of him just staying at rank 11 or whatever after this weekend are pretty high. So it's kind of like just annoying that we don't get to see him progress and potentially fight for a championship end of next year or something. It might be like a 2 year wait before he's there because of this matchups they're sort of giving him. But yeah, no, I'm keen to see how this guy goes, because I think he can challenge a lot of dudes at the top, and it's kind of like He's a bit of a sleeper agent. No one outside of the hardcores knows who the fuck Grant Dawson is.
Yeah, I think he's got to get a finish here, and I think he will. I think if he goes out there and, like I said, gets that round two submission, he could potentially be fighting somebody like Dan Hooker, who is ranked just above him. He could fight somebody like Michael Chandler, who is not going to get that McGregor fight, despite
He
as hard
is.
as he
He.
wants it.
I no. I was agreeing with you, but I now last few days. I think he is. I think it's going to be UFC 300, Chandler versus McGregor. I
Okay.
honestly think. McGregor's just entered USADA, which puts him on pretty much like a perfect shoot for UFC 300.
Okay.
Second reason is McGregor has acknowledged his next fight is Chandler. He said, like. Regardless, the next person I fight is Chandler. Dana's said that. There's just too much telling me that that's going to be the fight. But yeah, up until this week, I was kind of in agreement with what you're saying. I was like, man, what are you fucking waiting for? Go and just take another fight. But now, after sort of seeing McGregor in training, doing sparring, confirming that Chandler's going to be the guy, and then entering the USADA pool, I'm like, all right, this fight's happening now.
When will UFC 300 be?
I believe March. I
Okay, so
think.
what if I actually think that McGregor is going to move up to welterweight. So what if he fights somebody like Colby Covington or Leon Edwards?
Chandler has said he will fight McGregor at 170 or 185.
Yeah, but I don't know, man.
So, I
I was a
mean.
big fan of Chandler, but he's a fucking tool now. I think he's such a douchebag. Like he's such a company man that I can't respect him. Like he goes out there and talks like all this great stuff about power slap and stuff like that. But let's say that you're right. Let's say that,
Even
they're gonna fight at 300.
just to add one more thing in too, with the sparring footage that I saw of McGregor, if you'll notice, he's sparring a dude that's like 5'10". And I think that's intentional. Chandler's pretty short. Whereas McGregor's usually sparring guys that are like the size of Ian Garry and shit. And now all of a sudden he enters USADA pool and he's sparring shorter, stockier guys. I don't know. There's just a lot that adds up into my head to make me believe that this fight is happening, and they both know, and are both being told not to sort of
Okay.
confirm it, because obviously anything can happen. You know, Conor McGregor can bash some dude in the streets or something, or fuck some chick, and you know, anything can happen between now and March. So I think they've pretty much been told yous are fighting each other, but we're not making it official just yet.
Okay. Well, then what I think the next fight is, if Grant Dawson wins, it's not going to be Charles Oliveira. It's not going to be Justin Gaethje because Justin Gaethje wants to fight whoever beats whoever in the upcoming Oliveira versus Islam fight. I think you give him either Dustin Poirier, who lost his last fight. Dustin Poirier is not going to want to take that, but you say, hey, you got to fucking take this. I'm a big Dustin Poirier fan. Beneil Dariush is fighting Armin Sarukyan, so that's not going to happen. You give him Matheus Gamrot, who got a fluke win over Rafael Fiziev, right? Rafael Fiziev is going to be out for a little bit. I think Grant Dawson, if he wins this fight, man, he either gets Dustin Poirier, who's ranked three, or he gets Matheus Gamrot, who's ranked six. And
Yeah,
I think either one of those is good.
I don't think he gets Poirier. I think if Poirier gets offered that, he moves to 170 possibly. I don't think it's Poirier, but I am in 120% agreement that it would be Mateus. That is, if Grant Dawson goes out here, finishes Bobby Green, I feel like in 4 months' time we get the announcement of Dawson versus Gamrot.
That'd be a great fight too.
Yeah, I'd be super keen for that. That is a good step up, because that's. It's stylistically a good matchup, you know. It's wrestler versus striker. You just see a lot of control time. Grappler versus grappler, you see a lot of scrambles and stuff, or you see pure stand up.
Striking. Yeah, you
Yeah,
see striking. Look at Usman versus Covington.
exactly. So yeah, no, that fight excites me.
Fuck yeah. Me too, buddy. Well, yeah, man. Let's wrap this up. I don't know if you got anything that you want to talk about before we get out of here or tell the folks about. But yeah, man, I'm excited for this card, dude. It's a little earlier start time. I don't know if you're even gonna be able to watch it. It's a fucking fight night time, so one my time. But yeah, dude, I
Okay.
think it's going to be a great card. I'm actually really excited to come back from that week off.
Yeah, I'm just having a look now at what time it starts because I didn't check that. It is
Four
6 o'clock in the
Eastern
morning. 6 o'clock in the morning, so not too bad. I'm
That's
happy
not
to get
bad.
up for that. Yeah, that's pretty chill.
It's worth it. Have some fucking waffles and eggs, maybe a mimosa.
Oh
You're good to
yeah, that
go,
sounds
dude.
all right.
Hell yeah. Well, cool, man. Well, anything else before we head out?
No, I'm good, man. Cheers, cheers for the chat.
Yeah, dude, it was a fun one. And guys, if you're out there listening, man, good luck betting. I kind of alluded to a parlay that I had. It's shit. Let me actually pull that up really quick before we
Yeah,
get out of
do it.
here. I have two parlays.
Let me see if I've got anything that I can quickly share as well that I think is reasonable.
I've got a $100 parlay and I've got a $50 parlay. My $100 parlay is a chalky parlay. It's all favorites. But my underdog parlay is two underdogs, and I mentioned those. It's Alex Morono and who the fuck else? Alex Morono and Alexander Hernandez. $50 to win 254, so that'll be about 300 and yeah, $304 total. And then I've got a $100 parlay on Grant Dawson, Drew Dober, Carolina Kowalkiewicz, Kanako Murata, and Matheus Mendonca. And that $100 parlay will get me 394, so that'll be a total return of almost $500. So, man, if those two parlays hit alone, we're fucking rolling fat here on the night. And then, I'll be having individual action on each fight. So we're hoping to have a $1,000 night there, folks.
I have a six legger. It's +900, and it's a mix of UFC and Bellator. I think it's a pretty good chance of hitting because it's all it's not all chalk, but it's pretty reasonable odd stuff. It's the Kutalaba and Linz fight not to hit round three. It's Kai Kamaka in Bellator, money line. Bill Algeo money line. Drew Dober to win inside the distance, so either by KO or sub. Then back over to Bellator, Liz Kamush money line and Cyborg money line, and that is +900.
Okay. +900. I like it. What'd you throw down on it, if you don't mind me asking?
Just $10, so that'd be
Okay.
10 into close to 100.
Okay. Yeah, man, I'm going hard, dude. I'm trying to get a $1,000 night, man. Like
I would be too if I had a big weekend last weekend. My football team made the grand finals but did not win. So
Fuck.
that hit the pocket heavy. So this week was I'm being sort of light this week.
Little conservative. Yeah, dude, last night I actually made some fucking good money on the Bears and Commanders game. Bet for the Bears to get their first win, and they did. And then I bet on the overs, man. Like anytime that the narrative is going a certain way, just go the opposite, man. And then betting on, if we're talking football, American football, just bet on like touchdown scores and try and parlay two or three of them together in different games. And I mean, there's a significant chance you take like the AJ Browns, the fucking Christian McCaffreys, and the types like that. You parlay those dudes together, they can get you. You throw $100 at like a couple dude parlay like that, and you can turn 100 into 300 pretty quick, man. So we're rolling into this
Yeah.
weekend up on money, hoping to get $1,000 this weekend, but we'll see.
We have similar sort of ones over here in the NRL, our rugby league, where they call them try school. So our scoring is not a touchdown, it's called a try. But yeah, we have anytime try scorers, and
Fuck
it's a
yeah.
similar sort of thing where you can chuck, two or three blokes from different games in and sort of hit a big
Yeah.
one. But yeah, I had future bets on my team to win this year at like +1500 since the start of the year. And I'd been using UFC profits all through the year to just throw little bets on my future. So
Like
I
it.
would have won a decent amount if they had won. But yeah, unfortunately, well, I thought they were going to win. They were winning at 17 minutes left in the game, and then they just choked, man. The other team came back and beat them by 2 points. So it
Yeah,
was
that's what the
pretty
fucking
brutal.
Cardinals did. Cardinals did that too here when I went and fucking actually paid and drove up there to watch the damn game myself. But It happens, man. You know, it's sports. Sports are all fake. You got to try and figure out the angle and how the Illuminati bets these things. But with that said, guys, thank you for listening. Good luck to all your bets. And man, we got some fucking incredible pay-per-views coming before the end of the year. And just a good time if you're into MMA betting. So with that said, guys, take care and we'll see you soon.
Peace.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.